Title: Nightbus Ableton Live 12 Drop Framework for Warm Tape Style Grit for Jungle Old School DNB Vibes Advanced. Alright, let's build a reusable drop framework in Ableton Live 12 that nails that Nightbus style warm tape grit for old school jungle and drum and bass. The goal here is density without losing speed, slightly saturated transients, gluey low mids, crunchy tops, and controlled chaos on fills and transitions. This is an advanced lesson, so I'm going to assume you're comfortable with routing, groups, returns, gain staging, and automation. What I'll give you is a clean architecture you can drop into any project, then a set of moves that make the drop hit harder without just turning it up. First, what we're building, conceptually, you'll have a drum group that feels like it's been printed to tape, a bit chewed, a bit rounded, but still snappy enough for fast breaks. A bass group that keeps the sub stable and mono, while the mid layer gets that chewy harmonic texture that reads on small speakers. A set of return effects that create a late night, grimy, enclosed rave space, dub delay, dirty room, and an optional parallel crush send. Then the real sauce, pre-drop to drop automation lanes that create tension, impact, and sustain. And finally, a print track so you can resample and commit the vibe like a junglist, slice it, reverse it, throw it around the arrangement, and do a second tape pass if you want it dirtier. Let's set the session up first. Put the tempo somewhere between 160 and 170 BPM. I like 165 for this style, because it sits in that sweet spot between roll and wait. Now headroom. Keep your master peaking around minus 6 dB while building. Not negotiable. If you build hot, all your distortion decisions get biased and you end up in harsh land. Create a routing skeleton. A drums group, a bass group, a music group for pads and stabs, an FX group for uplifters and noise, and a print audio track for resampling. Then create three return tracks. Return A is tape space, your dub delay. Return B is grit verb, your short dirty room. Return C is optional but huge, crush parallel. Now one of the most important coach notes before we touch saturation. Calibration. Drop a utility at the very start of the drums group and the bass group. The idea is not to obsess over meters, but to avoid feeding your saturators a blazing hot signal. Aim for something like minus 18 dBFS-ish as a comfortable average level. Then, after your saturation stages, add another utility to gain match. If you skip gain matching, every decision you make will be louder equals better, and that's how mixes get overcooked. Okay, drums. Inside the drums group, we're going to build a tape grit chain in a specific order. First device, EQ8 for pre-shaping. High pass at 25 to 30 Hz, steep, 24 dB per octave, to clear rumble that will just trigger saturation and compression for no musical reason. If the break is boxy, a gentle dip around 250 to 400 Hz, maybe minus 2 dB. And here's a trick that matters a lot for believable tape chew, pre-emphasis and de-emphasis. Give a tiny high shelf boost before saturation, like plus 1 dB. Maybe plus 2 at 6 to 10 kHz. You're basically letting the saturator grab the air and round it. Later, after saturation, you can shelf that back down if it gets too forward. That's how you get that compressed, rounded top without harsh fizz. Next device, Roar. Think of Roar as your modern tape box, not a distortion box. We want warm, not metallic. Choose a warm algorithm. If there's a soft style saturation mode, start there. Drive around 4 to 8 dB. You want audible density, but not that fizzy, sandpaper top. Darken the tone a touch. Tape vibe usually implies the highs don't stay perfectly pristine. If there is dynamics behavior inside Roar, go for a light compression feel with a slower-ish release. And keep the mix somewhere like 60 to 85%, so you're doing safe parallel inside the device. Teacher tip. If Roar is getting edgy, don't keep pushing drive and hoping it gets better. Back drive down and push post gain instead. Tape character is thickening and rounding, not screaming. After Roar, a drum bus. This is your glue and contour stage. Set drive around 3 to 6, crunch around 10 to 25%. That's where the grain lives, but keep it controlled. Boom at 0 to 10% around 50 to 60 Hz only if your kick needs it. If your low end is already strong, leave boom off. Transient from minus 5 to plus 5 depending on how sharp the break is. If you softened too much earlier, nudge transient up slightly, but don't clickify it. Then trim to match level, always. Next, glue compressor. This is the drop clamp. It's not here to squash life. It's here to hold the bus together when the drop hits. Attack around 10 milliseconds so your transient gets through. Release on auto or about 0.3 seconds. Ratio 2:1. Aim for 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction on the loudest hits. And yes, if it suits your material, turn on soft clip. For jungle punch, that can be magic. Then add a limiter at the end as a safety, not loudness. We're talking less than 1 dB of reduction most of the time, just catching the occasional spike. At this point, your drums should feel printed, a little chewed, a little glued, but still quick. Now we add the classic jungle weight, a parallel crush lane. You can do this inside the drums group with an audio effect rack, or use return C. I'll describe the chain either way. On the parallel crush chain, start with saturator in soft clip mode. Drive around 8 to 15 dB. Yes, that's a lot. That's why it's parallel. Then reduce output so you're not fooling yourself with level. Optionally add redux, but be subtle. Downsample maybe 2 to 6. Bit reduction 0 to 2. If you go full 8-bit, you're making a statement, and that statement is usually I'm destroying the mix, which is fine, but do it on purpose. Then EQ 8. High pass at 120 Hz so you're not smearing sub. And you can give a gentle boost around 2 to 5 kHz if you want more crack. Blend this in low. Think minus 18 to minus 10 dB return level as a starting range. Here's the listening test. You should feel it when you mute it. If you hear obvious distortion when it's on, you've probably gone too far. Now, advanced variation if you want to be surgical. Instead of one crush fader, build two. A body chain and a fizz chain. Body is band limited around 150 to 700 Hz, then saturate and maybe lightly compress. Blend very low. This adds diesel without harshness. Fizz is band limited around 3 to 12 kHz with very light saturation or clipping. Blended extremely low for edge. Separating weight from bite stops you from frying the whole break. Cool. Let's handle bass next. Sub-safe tape saturation with a band split. On the bass group, drop an audio effect rack with two chains, sub and mids. On the sub chain, EQ 8 low pass at 90 to 120 Hz. Then a very gentle saturator, drive 1 to 3 dB. Soft clip optional. Then utility, and this is important. Bass mono at 120 Hz. Lock it. Gain match the chain so you're not tricking your ear. On the mids chain, EQ 8 high pass at 90 to 120 Hz. Matching your crossover style. Then roar or saturator. Drive 5 to 10 dB. Darken slightly. Mix 50 to 80%. Then auto filter to tame fizz. A gentle low pass around 8 to 12 kHz if it's spitty. Optional chorus ensemble for width, but keep it subtle. And keep it above 150 Hz. Use EQ before or after if you need to enforce that. Phase discipline note. Keep the crossover simple and symmetric. Same slopes on both chains. And avoid latency-heavy devices on only one chain, because misalignment can steal low-end weight. If your bass suddenly feels smaller, it's usually mono, phase, or crossover mismatch before it's not enough saturation. Now, the returns. This is where the night bass atmosphere happens. And here's a big workflow tip. Make returns mix ready by design. At the end of each return, add a utility and map it as return level trim. That way your sends stay musical and you can still keep the actual return level under control. Return A, tape space, your dub delay, drop echo, set time to 1/8 dotted or 1/4, feedback around 25 to 45%, filter the delay. High pass around 250 Hz, low pass around 6 to 9 kHz. Keep it in the pocket. Add subtle modulation, just enough wobble to feel imperfect. Use echo's character or saturation moderately. Then add a saturator after echo, drive 2 to 5 dB in soft clip mode to round the repeats. This return is for snare throws, vocal chops, and stab hits. Don't smear the whole mix with it. Use it like punctuation. Return B, grit verb, your dirty room. Hybrid reverb. Choose an algorithmic room or a short convolution room. Decay 0.6 to 1.2 seconds. Pre-delay 10 to 25 milliseconds, so the transient stays forward. High pass 250 to 400 Hz. Low pass 6 to 8 kHz. Filter your verbs. Always. Then add drum bass or roar after it, lightly. Crunch 10 to 20%, just enough to make the room feel like it's coming off a battered sampler. Return C. Crush parallel. If you didn't build it inside the drums group, same chain as earlier. Use sparingly, maybe even a touch on stabs if you want them to feel sampled. Now we do the part that turns this into a drop framework. Automation from pre-drop to impact to sustain. Think of it as three scenes you can reuse. Scene A, pre-drop tension, last 4 to 8 bars. Put an auto filter on the drums group. Start the low pass around 6 to 10 kHz, and slowly close it down to 1 to 2 kHz by the end of the build. Add a small resonance bump, but don't let it whistle. Increase sends to tape space on selected hits, like the last snare of a phrase, or a little fill. Automate roarer drum bus drive up by about 1 to 3 dB across the build, just enough to feel the system straining. And you can slightly narrow width with utility on the group, from 100% down to 80 or 90. It makes the drop feel wider when it snaps back. Scene B. The drop hit, bar 1. Snap the filters open instantly, or within a 16th or 8th note if you want a tiny ramp. Do a momentary impact clip. Two options, glue compressor soft clip on, or a very short drive spike on a saturator. And I mean very short, like a tiny jab, not a whole bar. Then a classic contrast trick. Kill the returns for one beat and slam them back. So on the first kick, returns go to minus infinity, then immediately after, bring the space back. The downbeat feels closer, everything after feels bigger. That's old school psychology right there. Scene C. Sustain after 8 to 16 bars. Bring the drive automation down slightly so your ears don't fatigue. Keep parallel crush stable. Don't slowly creep it up forever. Add variation through micro moves. Small send changes, a single quarter bar delay throw, tiny EQ shifts like a 1 dB trim around 300 Hz if the room starts to build up. Advanced movement idea, tempo sync drive changes. Instead of one long ramp, automate in 2-bar phrases. Bar 1, plus 0.5 dB. Bar 2, plus 1.5 dB. Then reset at the next phrase. It feels musical, like the system is pushing with the groove, not like a random or distortion slider.